I'd like to read three passages with you tonight. One of them you needn't turn to. In fact, they're all very short ones. But I'd like to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Our subject tonight is, what is faith? What are the principles of faith? And in fact, I want to touch on three things. The first is the principle of faith. The second is the precept of faith. And thirdly, the practice of faith. But Deuteronomy at chapter 18, and reading from verse 14. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. This is Moses speaking, of course, and unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among thy brethren like unto thee, and will put my words into his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And then the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 17, just one verse, I'll read it to you. It's a record of the Mount of Transfiguration, and it reads, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, this is the Son of my love, in whom I find all my delights, hear ye him. And then over to Romans chapter 10, a verse which I'm sure you've been expecting me to go to, so I won't disappoint you, and we'll read from verse 13, down to verse 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, Mr. Darby has what I think to be an absolutely beautiful translation of that, and he says this: so then faith is by a report, and the report by God's word. So faith is by a report, and the report by God's word. In human life, we are at a disadvantage if one of our five senses does not work. And senses are those things that God has given us by which the brain might be stimulated. It's things we see, things we taste, things we touch, things we smell, and things we hear. And if one of those functions is not working properly in our lives, then we have to overcome a disadvantage in order that we might be on a par with everyone else. But when we come to the spiritual life, there is one sense which overrides all others. You see, sight doesn't do us much good in spiritual things, in a sense, because we're told we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. And as we see, faith is based upon things that can't be seen, and therefore sight is not of much use to us. Or we can read texts like Taste and See that the Lord is good, and other texts like that which link with one of the senses. But this is very much in a direct way, indirect way, because the only way that faith or contact, if you like, with God through spiritual things comes through hearing. And so as we look at that verse, so then faith is by hearing a report, and that report comes from God. And so the outstanding sense in the spiritual life of a believer is the sense of hearing. And when we look at this in the scriptures, we find it tremendously important. For example, the word to be obedient is the word to hear under. And when we're obedient, what do? We listen to someone who is in some way superior to us. And so when we obey God, we are willing to listen in a subordinate sense. The word disobedience is to hear alongside. And when I am disobedient, I am saying to the other party, whether it's man or God, I am as good as you, therefore I need not do what you tell me. And as we have read, faith comes by hearing a report. And that report comes from God. Now, I'm not going to read from, but I am going to refer to a number of passages in Hebrews, primarily from chapter 11. So you might like to keep that chapter open as we look at this idea of faith. Then when we come to the book of Hebrews, particularly to the end of chapter 10 and into chapter 11, we are told this, and it is repeated at least four times in Scripture, that the just shall live by faith. And so the writer of the Hebrews, having told us, made that statement that as just ones we are expected to live in accordance with faith, it seems as though he has the general feeling that he ought to tell us what faith is. And so as he moves from chapter 11 into chapter 11, the first thing he has decided to do under the guidance of the Spirit of God is just to describe to us in God's eyes what faith is. And this is the only definition that we have in the Word of God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And again, John Darby emphasized this when he says that faith is a substantiating of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. In fact, the word for substance there, or substantiating, is even stronger. It really telling us that faith is the confidence that we have in things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, it's that brings into focus in the mind, the spiritual mind, the things that the eye cannot see. I was told when I was a boy that the acronym for faith was, of course, simply forsaking all, I trust him. And we'll see that that is in fact true as we go through our thoughts on faith. So we have a biblical definition. We don't have to search for the definition of faith. And what happens is, when we are told things, and remember this report that we're hearing comes from God, and we're going to center on that in a moment, that faith says, number one, it's true, although I haven't seen it, and number two, it's real, although I cannot prove it. And we'll see how those two things become interwoven in the precepts and the practice of faith as we carry it out in our lives as believers. Now, how important is faith in a human life? Well, it's absolutely necessary, because you'll notice a little further down, the writer of this book goes on to say, without faith it is impossible to please God. And therefore, for a human being to set out to bring pleasure to God is an impossible exercise without, first of all, the presence of faith. And he goes on to tell us this, that in order to come to God, it is essential that we believe that he is. And you know, as Gordon was praying tonight for those who are walking around the city, perhaps unconscious of the real implications of what's happening in the things that they're doing, this is where the problem lies. They will not believe that God is. And without that fundamental belief, faith cannot develop in all its fullness in a human life. You remember Moses said, I'm a little bit hesitant to go and talk to Pharaoh. For example, who am I going to tell him has sent me? After all, you know, nobody's seen you. In fact, you remember Moses said on one occasion to God, well, you think I could have a look at your face? And God warned him very severely of the dangers of such a thing. And he put him in a rock and he covered with his hand and he walked past him. And Moses is going to Pharaoh now with a message from a God who has said, let my people go. And what was the title? Tell him, I am, has sent thee. And this was a little bit of a joke to Pharaoh. Who is this I am? Why should I let his people go? You see, he couldn't see a ruler. He couldn't see a leader. And the message had come, I am has sent me. And he soon found out the power of that I am. When pestilence and eventually death filled the land. But you see, we must believe that God is. It is impossible for faith to exist without that one acceptance of fundamentals. And you see, how do we know that God is? Only because he has told us. Faith is by a report. Secondly, we must believe too that he rewards those who come to him. So, the essential basis then for faith is very simple. We must first of all believe that God exists, that he is. Secondly, we must believe that those who come to him will in fact find him. And that's the reward. He's the rewarder by opening of eyes. That's when, you see, hearing works first and spiritual eyes open later. That God rewards those who seek him. And then, of course, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And there are people today who are trying by the things they do, and let's not lessen what they do. Good works are important in this life in which we live. There are too few of them. But there are people doing good works today, thinking that it is a means of pleasing God. But God has told us that without faith, it's impossible to believe him. Now, faith is given an initial test. You see, nothing comes without tests, without examinations. Now, God is very gracious with his examination, and he says, look, I have a simple test for you. You see, through faith, we understand not that the worlds, we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of God. Now, this includes, but is not exclusive of the material world. Because you remember in Romans, God said this, that if man looked at the things of nature, the things concerning me can be clearly seen. And things which can be seen and not the things of faith. What faith does is this, that we understand that the ages as they roll on through eternity, that the ages were framed by the word of God. Now, that's the first test that faith is given. You say you have faith, you believe that I am, you believe that I reward those who diligently seek me. Well, how about this? By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. That the ages, as they roll on, are prepared by the word of God. Not just the physical earth that is made today. And we have to believe, of course, particularly in regard to physical creation, we can see that. It doesn't need faith to see creation. What faith does is says, where did it come from? And faith says, it was made out of things not seen. And that's the challenge that we're going to face as we look at the question of evolution in coming weeks. Faith is prepared to believe that the ages as they rolled by are prepared by the word of God. Faith is prepared to look at the material creation and say, you know, this was made from nothing. And that's the first test that God gives faith. You say you have faith. God says, do you believe that the eternal ages have been prepared by my word? Do you believe that I took nothing and made from it the material things that by sight you can see today? Here's the first test. So faith is necessary, and God gives us a test. But where does faith really begin? Well, it begins, of course, by believing that God is. And that God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But what is that reward? And you see, what faith then learns is this, that there is only one source of blessing or reward from God. And the first exercise of faith is to believe what we read. You notice that verse came after this expression. And Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? And when we go to the Old Testament, to Isaiah 53, what was that report? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the report that they wouldn't listen to. And Darby says in his translation, faith comes by a report. And the beginning of our faith is when that report of Isaiah, which Israel would not accept, when that report is accepted by us. And so when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the first epistle in chapter 15, as he expands the gospel, he could say this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The report that came from God right through the Old Testament was that Christ was going to die for our sins. And so when we come to Ephesians, as we studied last week on Tuesday night, Paul could write this, by grace ye were saved through faith. Faith is the mechanism whereby a man says yes, and a woman, God is. And God is the rewarder of those that seek him, and he rewards them through the work of Christ. And so faith lays hold of that report and says it's true, it's real, it's mine. And that's where our faith becomes a practical thing in our lives. And You know, God promised, didn't he, that those who have faith are going to have a reward. And that reward comes when we accept faith, when it begins with Christ. Because listen to what God says. But to him that is not, that is ungodly, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Here's the reward of faith. The reward of faith is when God says to the sinner, in Christ you're righteous. And therefore we can go on as the writer does, as Paul does in Romans, and talk about being justified by faith. Here's that reward that God promised us. You can stand in my presence as though you had never sinned, because I'm viewing you in the person of Christ. You accepted the report that Christ died for your sins, and because you believe him who's able to justify the ungodly, your faith is counted for righteousness. What then is faith's objective? That's faith's reward, to be counted righteous. But what's faith's objective? Well, faith's objective is very simple. It started with listening, and it continues with listening. Faith is fed by reading the reports from God. And therefore, many of writers of the Bible could say, the just shall live by faith. And this moves us from the principles of faith to the precepts of faith. Because that suddenly we find faith having a definite article by it in many of the scriptures that we read. In fact, the verse that Greg quoted on the outline for this series should really read, fight the good faith of the faith. Because the embodiment of heavenly reports, the embodiment of the things that we must by faith listen to, is called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. And in the Word of God we find these precepts that need to be listened to in order to continue in faith. Faith never changes its character at all. It began as hearing a report from God. And right through life it will continue with that character. And the person who lives by faith is a person who says, this is the word of God. This governs my life. I have a little thing in school where when I want my students not to ask me dumb questions, I keep a very straight face and I give them problems to do, and I said, oh, by the way, that virus that hits me now and again and makes me deaf has now come again, unfortunately. So if you have any questions, don't ask me, because I can't hear you. You see, I want them to struggle on their own, but God never does that. Is that a problem in life, that we cannot find direction for in one way or another in the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing a report. Faith continues by continually hearing reports from God. James is a great one on this topic, and we've not much time to look at him tonight, but let me remind you of two things he said. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, God expects us by being faithful to listen. But you know, when I teach students in school, I don't teach them so that they will know the book. They can do that at home. I teach them so they can go out and practice accountancy. And that's why we listen to God. Not that we might be packed full of knowledge about God. That's a great thing. There's not many people who've got that today. But we exercise faith. We listen to these reports from God. We take it into our minds that we might live it out. And therefore James could say, faith without works is dead. It's a meaningless thing to say, I believe God, and not to accept Christ. It's stupid, to be blunt about it. And to say, I read the Word of God, and I listen to the teaching of God, and not carry it out in the life, is just as stupid. Because faith, as I absorb it, becomes a living thing in me. And it reflects in what I do. Now, part of our series, of course, as Greg mentioned right at the beginning, is to talk about faith and its defense. And you know this, I want you to think about this. When Satan attacks, he never attacks the principle of faith. He rarely attacks first the precept of faith. What he tackles is the practice of faith. You don't need to do that. That's not important. I know it's in God's word, but it was for the Corinthians, or it was for the Romans. It's not for you today. Oh, you look stupid doing that. Why are you doing that? Well, because it's in the word of God. Don't you think it's a bit far-fetched? Do you really think God meant you to do that? And I would suggest to you that Satan attacks, first of all, the practice of faith. Then that leads to an attack on the precepts of faith. Does God really mean you to teach that lesson in what you do? And then finally, the attack is then against the principles of faith. You see, if we don't practice faith, if we don't know the reports that come from God, the very basis of our faith itself becomes challenged. And you think about it. My time's just about gone, but you think about it. Satan attacks the practices of faith first. Then he attacks the precept. Now, we're going through some of that attack today. The idea of abortion, the idea of gay rights, are all attacking the precepts of faith. Because you see, what's the report from God? Every report from God would indicate that life exists from the very moment of conception. Every report from God says that a gay lifestyle is not acceptable to me. And those of us who have faith, we look at those and we say, yes, God says it. It has got to be right, and faith locks in immediately on those precepts and practices. But they're being attacked today. And we often are forced back to decide, did God really say that? And then Satan says, well, he may have said it, but really, what did he mean? Faith is hearing and accepting a report, and that report is from God. What about faith's prospect then? Where does all this lead us? So we are faithful. We exercise the principle of faith. We accept the precepts of faith. We practice faith in our lives, and where does it end? Ah, says Peter, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, weren't I saved at the beginning? When I said Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures, of course you were. But hey, there's a salvation in all its fullness, ahead for the faithful. And Peter is talking about trials. And he says, you know, endure through these trials because you're going to receive the end product of your faith, which is even the salvation of your souls. And that's what faith is really looking for. Remember what we said? Faith is the confidence that the things we hope for will come about. And without a shadow of a doubt, the end of faith is the full salvation from the power, presence, penalty of sin, and eternity in the presence of the God, who through life we have never seen. And who in that day when we receive the end of our faith, not only will we see that Savior, we shall be like him. For, says John, we'll see him. Ah, no, faith is replaced by sight. You see, sight has its place in the spiritual life, but it has its place way down there when God takes us into his presence and shows us our Savior. That's the reward of faith. That's its fullness. That's what faith is all about. That in that coming day, we'll see him and we shall be like him. Brethren and sisters, the exhortation in the Word of God is, be ye faithful. What does that mean? It means to listen. To listen to the voice of God. To accept what he's telling us. To practice it in our lives. And to be consumed by that hope that we'll receive the salvation of our souls. Father, for the things of thee that have filled our hearts today, we would return thee thanks. This morning many of us gathered together around the emblems, and there we rejoiced in the fullness of the work of Christ. Then we listened to the ministry of thy word as we heard of that man who was after thine own heart, and who in spite of his failings and his faults as a man displayed those things that were found with thee. And tonight we have thought of the principles of faith. Many of us have exercised faith for some time. Some are new on the path of faith. But whether we're young or old, Father, faith still remains the same, that we listen to thy voice. Realize that we can't know thy voice unless we read and study thy word, so encourage us into its pages. And may thy spirit take that which is of thyself and make it a blessing to us, that our faith might be strengthened in principle, that the precepts may become part of our lives, so that men may see that we have been with Jesus. We cast the rest of the evening upon thee. We ask that these young ones may enjoy this time together, and that there'll be no accidents, no difficulties, no problems, but as this day comes to a close, in fellowship with each other, may we indeed be blessed by thyself, because we ask it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.